Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to share some tidbits of wisdom with you. We started a very fascinating subject yesterday, Dave. We're talking about the three chairs. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Well, most
of
our...
It's a great subject.
Yes, it was. Some of our listeners may not have been here. Can I take just 2 minutes to rehash what we talked about? Because today's program is going to be a follow-on on what we started yesterday. We were talking about how disappointing it can be when we see heartbreak from one generation to the next generation. And the three chairs that we talked about as a visual aid for us to understand the three different positions, like the father, the son, and the grandson, or the mother, the daughter, and the granddaughters, however you want to measure it. Each generation sees things a little differently. And we use a chair as a parable to understand how we can measure these three things. We have three chairs. The first chair being a good, godly Christian person who has firsthand experience in all of the worldly events that take place, and they have a lot to be grateful for and thankful for, and they are indeed strong Christian people. And now in that second chair, we have the children. And all this was based on Scripture. The children are the first generation people. They too are Christian people, but they don't necessarily have firsthand knowledge. They were told of the experience from their parents, and they believe in those experiences that they had. And that can be all the way back to the biblical days, which we had referenced Scripture yesterday. It can all the way up to today's foundation of the world we live in now. And then we looked at the third chair. Now, the third chair was a non-believer. It's a non-Christian because they didn't have the experience that the first chair had. And they didn't even hear the stories that the second chair had. They were just coming by and not hearing or seeing or experiencing any of these things. So now we have three chairs. Godly people in chair one. Almost godly people in chair two. And less than godly people in chair three. Three different generations, one very powerful, near and dear to the Lord with firsthand experience. Other one saw these experiences, heard about the experiences from their parents, perhaps believed them, but didn't have an opportunity to actually witness them. The third chair, once again, did not even hear about them, so they are godless people. Dave, is that pretty much set the stage of the three chairs that you were talking about?
Boy, you did a good job. That's right.
All right. Well, let's continue with that thought process and follow on with the role of the church with these three different positions or three different generations of people.
You want me to start?
Would you please, Dave?
It's a neat illustration to look at your church. I tell you, you listen to us today, and Sunday you go to your church, you're going to be sitting able to see what chair your church sits in. So, you'll know which chair a church sits in simply by looking at the behavior of those who attend the church. The third chair that the church sits in, here's what happened to them. They have lost the Bible in the rubble as Christianity collapses in their church. Usually their pastors are more liberal than the congregation, and have been schooled in the heresies of a bankrupt faith. To them, the Bible is nothing more than another book from which to select stories applicable to the family of the day. They don't know the Lord, and since they neglected their Bibles, they don't even know His work. The third chair churches are dead. The church of Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, they were warned to wake up, and they had the truth but would not repent and obey it. And now their names have been blotted out of the book of life. Revelation talks about the three chairs. The church that you attend, you can sit there for a moment and decide, how do people behave here? What do they do? How do they treat the altar? How do they listen to the pastor? What do they even bring their Bible? Do they have one? Third chair, people don't even have a Bible. They have to rely on somebody giving them third chair information. So what do you think about the second chair people? Where are they in the church?
Well, the second chair people, they have their Bibles, and they usually bring them to church. I do. I still take my Bible to the church. As you've learned in earlier on, these people do know the Lord, and they know the works which He has done. They heard about it. They honor the Word, and they can usually find the passages being read during the sermon. They know their Bible, because the majority have been raised that way. The Bible is viewed as the backbone of the sermon and is usually read at the beginning and is used as kind of a springboard for the pastor to launch into his own thoughts or his own stories or his own illustration and his words of encouragement. Like the church of earlier days that Dave talked about in Revelations, the second chair church have indeed activities of their organization, their particular denomination, but there isn't any fire in it. They're just kind of lukewarm towards God. They believe they are rich and in need of nothing. But just as the Lord said to the believers, you do not realize that you are the wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They have the truth, but they assume that they simply having the truth is enough. They don't really think about the vibrant relationship with Christ. They have a ho-hum acquaintance with Him. The Bible is rarely opened between Sundays, and they don't give Him any authority to its principles to impact their lives.
Now look at the first chair. You just read about the second chair. Mm-hmm. First chair honors the Bible. More than that, the people are hungry for it. By the time they enter the sanctuary, the people are full of anticipation for a word from the Scriptures. Unlike the second chair, the pastor of the first chair church aims the Word of God right at the heart of the congregation. He preaches with good old-fashioned unction, and the congregation experiences the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is common among its members. First chair has repentance as a part of its very life. Deep soul-searching often results when the sword of the Spirit is unleashed. The Bible is seen as the authority of life. It is fully embraced in the final and full answer to the problems of marriage, family, values, parenting, business success. So, what do you see about the third chair in the church? The church that sits in the third chair.
Well, the third church sees the Bible as a relic of bygone days. You know, the second chair church sees the Bible as a helpful guide. First chair, hey, they see the Bible as a living, vital revelation from God given directly to them for whatever they need and for their everyday lives. But you see, that third chair family, they have a large family Bible in most cases, but they don't use it. Second chair families carry their Bibles to church, but use it rarely between Sundays. And the first chair family feast upon the Bible and they use it regularly. See, there's a big difference there in others, isn't it? Let me approach this with the important issues of the Bible's prominence in the life of the church from our current perspective. How do individual members determine what is right and what is wrong in the ebb and flow of our daily lives. Let's face it. The first chairperson has come to the deep convictions regarding who is in charge of his life. He chooses God. Therefore, he soon comes to the firm conclusion that God's word must be the authority for his life. That is a key element for the first chair. He submits to the authority of the Bible and seeks to understand it in order to live it. First chair people look at the Bible as a source of what to do, not just what to know. You see, their lives are filled with the complexities that challenge. But because they have lost the root of pride and arrogance, the people, like the people in the second chair, well, you see, they don't know that God's wisdom offers the true life-giving answers. But the first chair people have that knowledge. Therefore, they have chosen to submit to the Bible. It's the commandments of their choice, and the scriptures are supreme. That's a big difference between first and second chair.
Second chair people believe that the Bible is God's word, but he has kind of stalled on the submission issue. He believes in the Bible, but his beliefs haven't reached the level of conviction. Simple belief is not strong enough to stand up against the consistent pressures of life. But conviction rules a person even in the most difficult times. The second chair person has a different source of authority in his life so that he is not well-grounded or strengthened by convictions. The person who has the Bible in his authority in life is able to stand firm in the face of any persecution, while the individual who can't rely on his Bible will wilt in the face of the slightest persecution. So what do you think about that? That's
powerful words.
The second chair people, they need to be talked to.
Yeah. Well, for the second chair Christian, the factors that determine what values will be embraced, it is not a command of Scripture, but a customary practice of his fellow Christians. You see, this difference isn't even recognized by the vast majority of second-class believers because the difference is subtle. Subtle but deadly. Rather than allowing for the infallible God to lead them, they allow fallible humans to tell them what to do. Big difference, isn't it? You see, the commands of the scriptures are fully inspired by God and therefore reliable in every context of life. Other Christians are not inspired by God in many times, and not only unreliable, but completely contradictory to the Bible. You see, the first chair believers choose the Bible over other believers. The second chair Christians choose other Christians over the commandments. That is a significant difference. And here is one powerful, powerful difference. The commands of the Scripture haven't changed in thousands of years because they are also absolute truth. But Christians who are not anchored in the absolute truth have been constantly changing all along. Even first-chair Christians through the ages have some major differences of opinions. We're all human, aren't we? Let's face it, it's because of this very thing that the first-chair church preaches the Bible in a different manner than that second-chair church. Let's face it, in one, the people desperately need the truth because they do not trust their own devices. In the other, people trust themselves and are fine without the real meal from the table of the Lord. In one context, a person will leave starving if the word is not preached. In the other, a person leaves bored. The difference is remarkable.
Boy, that's where we are today.
Yes, it is.
Some people were looking and saying, you mean Giff and Dave, you think I'm going to a second chair church? Am I bored? Am I starved to death because of a lack of real preaching from the word of the Lord? We're talking about some mighty, mighty, mighty big issues. Every time, you know, people leave their church when they finally say, hey, you know, I don't even want to get out of bed to go to church. That's really sad when you don't wake up excited. If you don't get excited drinking your coffee on Sunday morning that you're going to church, you're in trouble already. You need to find a different church that says grabs your attention, and you wake up and say, wow, I can hardly wait to get to church today. My pastor's going to preach. just so incredible for the word. I don't want to hear about it. I want to be there and see what he's going to say today. That's first chair Christians.
You do. You have a very good way of sharing that thought process, Dave. Picture those three chairs again. But instead of people sitting in them, picture the churches being in them. Beneath the first church lies the Bible, an anchor against the storm of life. Under the third chair lies the world, with its sensual pleasures, materialism, and pride. The church of the third chair is turned away from the Bible and is solidly entrenched in the things of the world. Only traces of true Christianity can be found. These two churches are at opposite ends of the spiritual scale, and the second chair church sits in the middle, trying to decide which way to go. My, oh my, oh my, doesn't that sensation tell you about the world we live in today?
Wow.
So many people in that middle chair. What do you think, Dave? Is there any chance for us to change?
When we consider the church in the middle.
Yeah.
On one side is the Bible, and on the other side is the world. But here's a surprise for them. The person in the second chair cannot remain in the middle indefinitely. In time, he will be drawn closer to one or the other. And the problem is, no matter how hard you try, the two will not become one. The second chair must be drawn toward one or the other. Whether or not a person believes it, the Bible makes it clear there are only two kingdoms, not three. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. We do not have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of man. Man worships and serves each one or the other. Man's belief is that he rules his own kingdom, and he has a struggle to find out which one is important, the most important. So, now that you've been a little bit with me in this gift, where are you personally in your life? Are you first, second, or third chair?
Oh, I'm definitely first chair.
I am
definitely first chair.
Praise God. You said it right. Say it again.
I have to be totally honest, Dave. Over the years, I think I have moved from chair number two to chair number one.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I mean, I was converted at the age of 13 when I first pledged to walk with the Lord in my daily life. And I did my very, very, very best. But, you know, when you're a teenager, you're growing up, you get one decision after another, and you just never know what tomorrow's going to be. Your ambitions change the way you change shirts. you never know which way you're going to go.
Which chair did your parents live in?
Well, that's a good one, because my mother was first chair, and my father, I think, was second chair. So it wasn't as solid as maybe many people have a very firm foundation. And that's a different kind of a role. It depends on how old you are, or what generation you lived in, or what experiences you had as a youngster. Did you live through the Depression, yes or no? Are you a Generation X child, yes or no? Are you, what do they call us, the baby boomers here, that were born between 46 and 59? Yes, we're baby boomers. Were you one of those? Your thought process is different. Your life's experiences and exposure can be altered, and it can make a difference of your base paradigm. How you were raised, your very beginning, your foundation. But you have to move yourself to that first chair. There can be no excuses. And I think that's what the message you're sharing with us today are, Dave, that regardless of what your background might have been, you have to decide for yourself where you're going to live.
Hey.
And you have those options.
If you just want to look real quickly at the last 30 days, the last 30 days of your personal life and the lives of your friends at church, what movies have you seen? In the past 30 days, many of your church friends, and maybe even you, have watched R-rated movies, explicit sex, nudity, scores of swear words, adulterous relationships, many other things. It seems that entertainment consists of scenes depicting immorality, especially of young teens, and graphic violence. We listened to the conversation after Sunday school between church and Sunday school and friends who were discussing the latest movie thriller, R-rated. It's unbelievable. You don't have to go very far to stand in your church and see what kind of a seat the families of the church sit in. And if I was pastoring a church today, I would be promoting that our children would learn how to live beyond the third chair. They got to move up. Maybe they can't move to the first chair, but they could move to the second. And as the preacher continues to preach and to share the message, they finally begin to say, wow, living in the first chair is going to get me to heaven. You get a preacher preaching about the future and what's going to happen to us in the next event of the church, which is the rapture of the church. You get people looking to say, boy, I better not be sitting in the third chair when the Lord comes, or even the second chair. I mean, it's going to be difficult. We're living in days when we need to change. That's why Giff and I are talking about this today, because the Lord could come this week. And how do you get yourself to go in the rapture of the church? Those are some important things we need to preach about, we need to talk about, we need to get interested in. The world is in chaos, and we are moving to the end times, and the Bible says Jesus is going to come and take away the church. Wow.
That's right. That's powerful words.
And what church are you going to, and what seat are you sitting in? That's where we're at today.
You have a good point there, Dave. If we're going to compromise our moral integrity by watching those kind of entertainments that you just described here a moment ago, we'll call it just filthy entertainment, what can we expect our kids to pick up on? They see the same habits? Especially at a young age, they're very impressionable. When we take any step that compromises, you see we're going to be influencing our family. These eye-openers come when your children called their friends for a sleepover, and that you have to worry about what's going to occur. You know, they can have a good time, but they have some questions. What movie are we going to watch? They know our family standards, but they might want to protest. What are you going to do? You going to watch a PG-13? Our daughter sometimes went through those preteens issues, and we had to say no. When, you know, kids like to get together and have their sleepovers, and, well, what are they going to do for entertainment? But when you get to thinking about these situations, you have to stick by your Christian principles and make sure that your children don't watch those kinds of films until they're much older. And that's what the moral standards are about, making their decisions based on what the Bible would say. What's the Bible say about these things?
Can we summarize a little bit there?
Yeah, we have to, because we're running out of time.
Let's summarize what we've been talking about today. I'll tell you what we think about the first church, and you come in there with the second chair, okay?
Okay.
First chair lives by what the commandments of the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture's the basis. What does God want? The Bible standards of behavior are absolute regardless of the culture. What's right in God's eye? That's the first chair.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the checker? How did they
Well,
did?
The middle chair is a little different. It's close, but it lives by what their fellow Christians do. That's what we were talking about earlier. And they believe is what's the right thing to do. What, in other words, they'll go what their neighbor says. Saints are their basis. And they'll say, well, what do you think? And they're going to ask one another. The believer's standards on behavior are following in the footsteps of their culture. And what's right in their eyes is going to be their judgment call. That's what they're going to follow. Boy, that's just a slightly different than that first chair, isn't it, Dave?
Look at the third chair real quickly.
Hey, yeah, go ahead.
Listen by what the people in their culture do at work and the circle of friends. Society is their basis, not saints, not scripture. Yeah. Who cares what you do? What do you think? What does God think? The basis, it's the standard basis of behavior is what's right in your own eyes. The Bible doesn't say that. It's in God's eyes. What's right in your eyes? What's right in my eyes? Boy, that goes on.
That's right. That's a big difference, isn't it?
Too bad our time is
gone. Yes, it is. We like to go into more depth explaining these three chairs, but I think our listeners have the idea that they have to make sure that if they're not in that first chair, they have to move their lives to do what has to be done to get to that first chair. Boy, my goodness, we could go on forever, but we must say goodbye. The engineer's waving his flag at us. We got to go. Gift Briner saying bye-bye for now.
See you later. Dave Colonna here. We'll be back. Bye-bye.